Hello and welcome to our program. We're beginning today in Luke chapter 8, verse number 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. Stay tuned. I am reading in Luke 8, verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. Now, Jesus had more than his share of problems from these rulers of the synagogue. But it's interesting how your attitude can change when maybe Jesus can help you. Yeah, we don't want him around the rest of our lives, but we'll see what we can do here when we're in trouble. Well, he had one daughter and she was dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, he didn't say, well, you rulers give me a hard time. I'm not helping you at all. Jesus went and the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Now, she had this issue of blood 12 years. Interesting, the girl who was dying was 12 years of age, and she felt if she could touch the hem of his garment, that she could be healed. Jesus said in verse number 45, who touched me? And all denied. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith, now we've seen here that word faith means what you believe, hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one of the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Now you can understand that Jairus was pretty upset. His daughter is dying. And then this woman interferes. Maybe if she hadn't interfered, he'd have got there in time. Whatever's going through his mind, we read that the messenger said, thy daughter is dead. Well, in verse 50 we read, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, and said, he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Now, these are these professional wailers that come in at a time like this. They can weep or they can laugh, depends what's going on. They laughed him to scorn. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. What an interesting portion of Scripture. Tell no man what was done. It's going to be the talk of the town. Everybody's going to know she was dead, and now she is alive again. In fact, in this account in Matthew chapter 9, we read in verse 26, the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Everybody knew. Everybody would be talking about this. Why did he say tell no man what was done. Well, I think it has to do with the immediate context here. We have that crowd out there. They're mockers. They've been laughing. Don't satisfy their curiosity by telling them anything. Just keep silent about this. They don't deserve to know what's going on. Second, I think the cause, you want to talk about something? Talk about the plan of salvation. This girl has been healed physically. It's much more important that people realize the importance of trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, that takes us into chapter 9, where we see the ministry changes again. For the last year and a half, the disciples have been watching what is going on. Now we see that Jesus is going to put them into the ministry. We read in verse number 1 of chapter 9, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Now, the key here is they were sent to preach, verse number 2. He sent them to preach. 9 and 2 says that. Luke 9 and verse 60, it says, "Go thou and preach." But we see that he gave them power. 12 disciples, it says in verse 1. "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." Now, this is what we call the sign gifts in the Bible. These were signs particularly for that day, and it was given to those 12 men. We have an account in Acts chapter 19 where it says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews who were exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord, and they tried to cast out these demons." And we read in verse 15, "The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye?" God gave this power to these 12 and only to these 12. These so-called faith healers of today are charlatans. That's what they are. Well, we said in verse number 2, it says here that he sent them to preach, Luke 4 and 18, preach the gospel. Luke 4 and 19, he sent them to preach. Luke 4 and 43, Jesus said, "I must preach." Luke 9 and 2 here, he sent them to preach. Luke 9 and 60, "Go thou and preach." This is the important thing. As we mentioned in the last chapter, yes, the young lady was healed, but if she didn't get saved, she needed to get saved. If she didn't get saved, she'd be in hell for eternity. And so here's the important thing, preach. Now, he's healing the sick, which of course that has to do with compassion on the people, and we could talk about the compassion of the Lord forever. And then we see here in verse number 3, it talks about trusting God. And this is interesting. It says, he said unto them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece." Now, this was a part of their training program in trusting God. You'll notice it says, don't take staves, two staves. In other words, one will be enough. A scrip, that was a leather sack in which travelers carried their provisions, bread and money, and two coats, he's saying, don't take two coats, one will be enough. What we're talking about here is learning to trust God. When he was getting his disciples together back in Matthew chapter 6, he said in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither yet for your body, what ye shall put on. In Matthew 6 and 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, we've said many times, and we'll say it many times again, because it is so important, that when you're going to study something like this, it is important to compare Scripture with Scripture. So if we look ahead in Luke chapter 22, verse number 35 and 36, Jesus was speaking, and he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise the scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Now, of course, he had been teaching them when they were going out to trust in him to do what they had to do. Specifically, their message was to preach to the Jews about the kingdom. Now, he says, but now, he said, "he that hath a purse, let him take it," and everything changes here. They no longer had that power, that special power, those sign gifts that was there specifically for Israel. They could not raise the dead. These were kingdom signs. Now we're going into this new dispensation that is the local church age that we've been in for the last 2,000 years. And so to now it says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 14, if you're going to be in the ministry, it says, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Now, back there in those sign gifts and all that special stuff, he said, don't be taking any money from anybody. That's not what he's saying now. In fact, in 1 Timothy 5 and 17, it says, "Let the elders," or the pastors that rule well, "be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine." But, however, the lesson is here, even today, when we get into a situation where we have nothing, we can trust God. And so he's sending out his disciples. He's teaching them, you need to go and preach. You need to have compassion. You need to trust the Lord. And then you need to have contentment. He says in verse 4 of Luke 9, "And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart." Now, he's saying whatever you have there, you need to be content with what you have. Sometimes if you've traveled, as I have traveled for years, and into various different places, some of the places you get in a house where you're going to stay, there's quite some horror stories there. And the Lord is saying, now, you know, they didn't have motels there and places and fancy places they could go and, you know, and get for the night. They stayed people's houses. Sometimes he says you're going to enter into a place that maybe not so good. Well, whatsoever house ye enter in, there abide, and thence depart. You need to be content. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Be content. Well, he was in prison when he wrote that. Then he said in Luke 9 and 5, "And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." Now, this is interesting. If, again, we compare Scripture with Scripture and see the purpose that they were sent out and what they were doing, it says in Matthew chapter 10, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying," listen now, this is what he said, "go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, obviously, if he's talking about just do not go to the Gentiles with this message, do not go to the Samaritans with this, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the message then, the kingdom of heaven that he's talking about here, is that literal kingdom that they could have had back then for the nation of Israel. Here's the sign gifts that went with it. Verse 8 of Matthew 10, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. This is where he said, don't take their money. This was something that had to do with the miracle signs and so on. And don't get money involved in this. This was something for the nation of Israel. Then he said, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. And when you come into a house, salute it. And then he said, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, keep in mind, he's talking to Israelites, going to Israelites. He says, if they will not receive you nor hear the word, when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off of your feet. Now, this was something that the Jews did if they went into a Gentile area and then they came back and crossed into their own area. They would literally shake the dust off their feet because they had such contempt for the Gentiles. Now, the Lord is using this illustration here concerning going to Jews that won't listen, Jews speaking to Jews about the kingdom, and he said, if they won't listen, shake off the dust of your feet. Then he went on to say, for I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Well, when we get down in the book of Acts in chapter 48, Paul was preaching there, and they wouldn't listen to him. They expelled them out of their coast, it says in verse 50, and they shook the dust off their feet against them, and they went on to Iconium. Very interesting portion of Scripture. Be sure to be with us again for our next broadcast as we continue in these lessons in the book of Luke.